All right. Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. So thrilled to see this many folks turn out for our on-site service. We want to welcome those of you who are joining us via our online campus. We're thrilled that you're here. We say Happy New Year to you as well. It's so good to see so many of our folks here on a holiday. Now, Lily, in the announcement, said that I was going to preach a message.
Uh-oh, what's up with that?
So I guess I'm going to have to preach a message, and you guys are just going to have to be eye candy today. But anyway, no. I thought we would start this year out just a little bit different. And I am joined on the stage of Tiffany Fellowship Church this morning by two familiar faces. I'm sure they are familiar faces. Pastor Dave and Michael Abawaji, and we're going to take a few moments today to talk about prayer. Now, today we begin, as I said earlier, an emphasis that I'm calling 21 Days of Prayer and Fasting. And so over the next 3 weeks, I am calling this church to begin the year 2023 on our knees and in His presence. On our knees and in His presence. Now, if you don't have a prayer discipline or have never fasted, we're going to teach you. As Lily mentioned just a few minutes ago, I'll be teaching on fasting this Wednesday in the auditorium. I'm going to answer questions from Scripture like, is fasting compulsory? Does God require us to fast? Does He command us to fast? I'm gonna try to answer those questions. I'm gonna try to very briefly talk about how to fast. Let me make a statement. I've said before, and every time I make this statement, I get people argue with me, and that's fine. I'll take you on. I'll go toe-to-toe with you. Listen to me. Everyone can fast. Every single person can fast. You say, well, Pastor Barry, I have issues with my health and I take medications. There are different ways to fast, and I'm going to be talking about that on Wednesday. Fasting is not just food. There are other ways to fast, and there are partial fasts, fasts like the Daniel fast and things like that. If you remember Daniel, he and his three fellow Hebrew noblemen, they fasted a partial fast, and God honored that too. So there's many different ways of fasting, and we're going to be talking about that on Wednesday night. I have so much material, Michael. I'm not sure I'm going to get it all done in 1 week. So I'm going to try my hardest, mm-hmm. Dave. I'm going to try to get it all done in 1 week. If not, I'll have to bump you back a week. So I'm going to start promptly at 7 o'clock this Wednesday. So if you don't have a prayer discipline or have never fasted, we're going to teach you. And I believe it begins today, but we're going to start the teaching not only this morning, but we're going to do that on Wednesday night. Now, let me just say this. We're going to be opening the auditorium for the next 21 days for special times of prayer during the week. And we have those posted on our website and on our display here. If you didn't get a chance to we'll leave that up there for just a few minutes. If you didn't get a chance to take a picture of it or whatever, you can call the church and we'll do that. Also, I think you photocopied some handouts.
Yeah, they're out there at guest services.
At guest services, mm-hmm. If you want, you can grab that. And these are the days that we are going to open the church. We've tried to vary it. We've got some days in the at noon, and we've got some in the evenings. Now, let me just tell you, there's one that is not on there, but it continually happens, and it probably should be on there. But our women have been praying weekly on Tuesday evenings, and I believe that begins at 6 o'clock. Is that true, Rose? Rosemary, 6 o'clock on Tuesday evenings, in addition to those prayer times there. So we invite you to come. There will be a staff member here as a prayer chaplain during those times who will open the church. We cannot leave the church doors open because we've had some people try to get in that shouldn't get in and shouldn't be in. So you please come, and we'll be monitoring the doors to let you in to pray during those times. And then let me continue by saying that Michael will be teaching Wednesday, January 11th at 7 o'clock p.m. He will be teaching on prayer. Michael, tell us, what are you going to be speaking on that? You told me yesterday, and I didn't forget, but I want you to speak for yourself.
The title is The Place of Prayer.
Okay.
And I believe that I want to invite everyone, no matter where you are in your prayer life, there will be something that will be new, something that will stir you up or inspire you. We've known prayer to be just for our needs, but there is more to prayer that if we don't really grasp it and understand and run with it, there are certain things that God will be limited to do in our lives. And we want to make sure that we can be able to fully understand it. And
excellent. And I'll be telling you a little bit about what qualifies Michael to talk to us about prayer in just a moment. But then the following Wednesday, Dana Batten will teach on Wednesday, January the 18th at 7 o'clock p.m., and she has a message prepared on prayer. Dana is an elder in our church and a minister in her own right, and she has taught from our pulpit several times. She will be teaching Wednesday, January 18th at 7 o'clock p.m. on prayer, and I will be teaching on Sundays over the next several weeks on prayer. So we want to invite you to be a part of that. We don't want to just say, pray. We want to provide opportunities for you to pray, and we want to teach you, those of you who would like teaching and would like some mentoring on the discipline of prayer. So let me start with you, Pastor Dave, today. We're going to talk for the next few moments. This is Pastor Dave, for those of you online or those of you in-house this morning. Pastor Dave oversees many departments in our church. Pastor Dave, if you had a professional baseball team, you would call him a utility fielder. He plays every base on the team just about. And so Dave is in charge of his title is care and marriage pastor, but Dave also represents the men's ministry in our church. And so for the next few minutes, we're going to talk about prayer, how it relates to men's ministry. So how, by the way, Dave, how is men's ministry doing these days?
Men's ministry is going well. Hopefully each of you men have been able to encounter some of the things we put in front of you. We do a monthly breakfast. We do some topic studies through the year. We give you serve opportunities. And then right now it's a special time. We're getting ready to go to a Stronger Men's Conference in April. So looking forward to that.
Stronger Men's Conference. Tell us a little bit about that.
Man, that encounter, any man that's been there, I know, I love it because each year we get more salespeople for that particular encounter. Yeah. But we set aside a weekend where we say, okay, it's us and God. And James River does an incredible time setting up that moment, those moments for us. But about 10,000 men get together, they sing, they pray. And
that's in Springfield, Missouri.
Springfield in April, yes, sir.
Then men can see you about...
Love it. We would love to have you on the bus with us.
Excellent. Now, I hear that you are starting something new for 2023, Pastor Dave, for men's ministry. Tell us about that.
Yes, sir. You know, you probably know if you've gone by the YMCA or maybe Planet Fitness or any of them, they're lined up today to work out their muscles. They're working out different muscles. They're maybe working out their arms or legs today. You know what? I'm going to put a plea out. You're going to hear about it here shortly. But what about you and I as men deciding to work on some spiritual muscles? Maybe deciding, you know what? I have a part of me called my prayer life that maybe needs to be stronger. Maybe needs some effort put into it. So you're going to hear her shortly, but we're going to work. We're going to aim at working on our prayer muscles and decide, you know what? I want my life, my prayer life a little stronger.
Okay, so what are you specifically going to do?
Yes, sir. Well, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, January 14th, from 7 to 8 p.m. It's going to be something that's going to be ongoing for a while, but we're going to put the first call to prayer, men's call to prayer, on Saturday, January 14th. We're going to be here for an hour, 7 to 8 a.m., so we're going to start your weekend. Maybe you don't have to worry. If you don't want to shower, don't worry about that. Obviously, guys don't have to worry about the makeup thing. Maybe just decide, you know what? I'm going to start my weekend out in the presence of God.
Don't shave your legs that day.
Oh,
just
my.
Get up and comb.
Oh, my. You went there.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Now, 7 o'clock in the morning, that's on Saturday. That's pretty early.
Yeah, I figured we may adjust it, but I figured by most men, they're probably going to be awake. They're going to be stirring, maybe getting ready for their devotional. So no better place to do that, maybe, than right here.
So what's that prayer, that hour of prayer going to look like? What's going to happen?
There's going to be several pieces to that, but you especially know, many have heard the verse in James, effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know what? There's a part of that. There's an action step in that particular verse. You know, it's great to read that verse, but it's a totally different thing to walk it out. Mm-hmm. So in January, starting on the 14th, we're going to have opportunity for men to pray, to decide that, yep, I want my fervent prayer availing much, doing something. I looked at, was thinking about the disciples. You probably remember this story as well, but Luke 11:1, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray.
Yeah.
Interesting thing. You would have thought, they know how to pray. But they were so honest to say, Lord, teach us to pray. And of course, Jesus was a great example of prayer to those disciples that hung out with them. But, you know, I don't know about you men, but maybe the longest prayer you've ever prayed so far maybe is about 3 minutes, 4 minutes, five. I don't know. It takes a process to find yourself being able to fill maybe 7 to 8 a.m. on a Saturday. Those encounters are going to be programmed a little bit. I'll just give you a couple pieces of it. There's not going to be formal teaching on that moment. There's going to be a room prepared, as we've encountered Pastor Barry giving us a series. We're going to prepare a room, and then men of God are going to come in the room and pray. We're going to have something that's going to be maybe a little different. There's going to be encounter stations, what I'm going to call them, where two chairs will be set, where a man can come and pray and put his petitions before the Lord. You'll sit in one chair and you will walk out a scenario where in that other chair is Jesus listening to you. And then I want to just encourage men that day, we're going to put our petitions before him. Then we're going to be quiet. We're going to be quiet and ask God to talk to us.
Okay. So the first time that's going to happen is on Saturday, January 14th at 7 a.m. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Excellent. What types of things will we be praying for in that hour of prayer on Saturday morning?
Man of God, I hope that you will join us, but I'll give you just a couple things, and I'm going to tell you up front, it's going to be so easy for you to fill an hour of prayer. We're going to help you. We're going to have multiple things. We're going to have some handouts for you, listing items. You're going to see when you walk in, there'll be things on the screen. But we're going to pray for marriages. We're going to pray for missionaries. We're going to pray for these North Kansas City communities that Tiffany Fellowship Church finds itself right in the middle of. We're going to pray over the ministries of the church. We're going to pray over Pastor Barry. We're going to pray over the sick. Something that I'm very burdened for, and hopefully the men of God will join me in. We're going to pray over the unsaved that we know of. We're going to ask God that God would just draw them in, that he would work on their hearts, and we would find, here's my prayer, Pastor knows this about me. I pray that Tiffany Fellowship Church becomes a birthing center for the unsaved.
Amen.
Where each week we would see newborns coming to salvation. Because we have a class ready, First Steps for New Believers. But guess what? We need new believers to fill that class. So that's where you come in.
So Dave, let me ask you another question. Where did this idea come from? I mean, other than from the Lord. What inspired you to put this together?
You know what? Definitely several things have been stirring in my heart. But your series recently, Preparing Room, definitely kind of pushed me all the way over the edge, because I've been thinking, I've been watching Men of God. I don't know what you've been watching as far as what happens here at Tiffany Fellowship Church. Pastor Barry mentioned, but on Tuesday nights, men, we've been watching the women show up for prayer.
Yeah,
they've been carrying a prayer burden. Mm. And you know what I've been saying? Honestly, that's not all the way right.
Yeah,
that's not right.
Good that they do that.
I know it, but I'm thinking, okay, where's Dave Heinz in the middle of it? I'll just put me in the middle of it first. So where's Dave at regarding prayer in the building? Yeah, I pray at my house, but there's something special when we arrive and pray together. So that, and then when you decided, you let the team know that you were going to have a prayer and fasting season, I said, okay, that's it. Okay. We got to figure out a way to get the men engaged in prayer.
Let me talk just a moment about this idea of praying together. Because let me look you in the eye and say, the number one reason that I hear from people not showing up for a prayer service is, well, I pray at home alone. And I get that, and that's legit, and I don't want to demean that in any way, shape, or form. But I would encourage you to read the book of Acts. Just go and read the book of Acts, and you will find that when men and women got together for corporate prayer, stuff happened. Supernatural things happened. In fact, the scripture says, whenever two or more of you are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. The Bible tells us that when they came together in the book of Acts and the church prayed together, the scripture tells us the place where they were praying was shaken. Now, if it's shaken at your house when you pray alone, that's good. I like to hear those stories. But I also believe it's important for us to meet together for corporate prayer. God honors, God blesses, and God pays attention to when His people get together and they pray. So I want to encourage you to be a part of all of these prayer times, and especially the men. I think it's great. I want to thank the women of this church for carrying the load of prayer. And I believe the men of this church need to get up under that load and carry the load of prayer in this church too. Any final admonitions for men that you want before we move over to the other side here?
Absolutely, I have a couple. You know, the Bible talks about, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hopefully each man in this room has decided, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But hopefully part of that serving is a prayer peace to your life.
Yeah.
I know, I believe and I pray and I just hope and pray that that's already in place, but nothing like encouraging a little bit. I want to water that. I want to say, you know what? Wouldn't it be so awesome to look back on 2023 and say, look what the Lord did through prayer.
Yeah.
We know beyond the shadow of a doubt, wouldn't that be a beautiful thing where we would look back and say, there's no way that happened except that the people prayed.
Amen.
I'm praying that brand new Abrahams rise up out of the men.
Amen.
You remember that story probably. Abraham decided, you know what? I don't like what's happening in Sodom. I'm going to pray over it. And guess what? There was an ear that listened. Mm. You know what? I would love to see. Maybe you would be an Abraham to Kansas City. It's one thing to see things in Kansas City, totally different thing to say, you know what? I'm tired of watching that.
Yeah.
I'm tired of watching that. I'm going to be the Abraham for this city and pray that things turn around. Maybe new David's birth with hearts after God. Maybe, you mentioned it already, but maybe new Paul and Silas's, where when they prayed, you remember the story so awesome, where the earth itself shook. You know, maybe there's some things that will not happen here unless a spiritual Paul and Silas rises up and says, you know what, I'm praying over that. And then maybe in a way we would feel and sense that the actual earth, the spiritual earth, the foundation, the whole being of Tiffany Fellowship Church shook. Amen. Because men decided to pray. Maybe Solomon's, new Solomon's rising up. You know, maybe at times we as men, we find ourselves frustrated, can't figure things out. Maybe, you know what, I can't figure this out. There's a solution to this, but can't figure it out. But you remember Solomon, he asked for wisdom. He asked for knowledge. So that's one of my prayers as well. And now, of course, taking Jesus' example, most importantly. Busy, just like you and I. In ministry, just like you and I. But what we find in Jesus' life, he's hit the brakes every once in a while, and he gave us an example of prayer, gave us an example of what we should do as men. So definitely several admonitions Amen. For you.
You know, the scripture says, when you're reading the scripture, I'm sure you're paying attention to the fact that firsts are big things to God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The firstborn belong to me, saith the Lord. The first of fruits belong to the Lord. The first tenth of our income belongs to the Lord. And I believe that God will honor, bless, and send us renewal into our country and into our church and into our families when we give the first part of the year to him. The first part of this year in consecration, consecrated prayer and fasting. Dave, will you just will you lead us in prayer for the men of this church?
Absolutely.
And then we'll turn our attention to Michael.
Women of God, especially if you're around a man, if that is your husband or somebody you know, put your hand upon them. We're going to pray. Father of God, I just ask you even now that the spiritual stamina in this room would rise to a new level when it comes to prayer.
Yes.
Let it begin with the men. Father, I pray even now that a mantle of prayer would just even now, just in a way, drop on the men. We just say, I've got to pray. I'm not praying enough. I need to pray. We know 2023 will have its challenges. And Lord, I ask you even now, that men would set aside time to pray, and most importantly, at times, pray together corporately. Lord, as we set goals for maybe fitness, maybe godliness, maybe marital happiness, maybe possibly a financial goal, let's also say, I'm going to prepare Jesus' room in my life for prayer. Jesus, I ask you that we would encounter you in a fresh new way, and that we would see our prayers answered, that we would humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and ask you to heal our land, most importantly, even now, Kansas City.
Yes.
So I ask you this morning again that spiritual babies would be born as a result of the prayer lives of Tiffany Fellowship Church. Mm. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Dave. Mm-hmm. Michael, you graduated from the Word of Faith Bible Institute in Ghana with a certification in biblical studies. You are, I call you our prayer pastor, kind of your official, unofficial title. You head up the Healing Rooms ministry here at Tiffany Fellowship Church. You lead the intercessory prayer ministry here. So, and I don't want to embarrass you, so please don't be embarrassed, but I consider you a prayer expert. When it comes to prayer, you're like the expert. I have been in prayer meetings with you where I have seen you pray for an hour straight without, I think sometimes I look at him and I think, is he going to take a breath? Mm-hmm. You know. So you know how to pray. You've had a great prayer discipline your whole life long, I understand. And specifically during my time here at Tiffany Fellowship, you have been an inspiration to me as to how to pray. And so I just wanted to talk to you a little bit. You've taught on prayer a lot here, and you're going to teach in a couple of Wednesdays. And so I just had a couple questions I wanted to ask you. What is the connection between our hunger and thirst for God and prayer? What is the connection between a hunger and thirst? Because can we actually say that we hunger and thirst for God if we don't pray?
Yes, I mean, if you say you hunger for God, and you can't help than to pray.
Yeah.
Scripture says that we should call upon him in time of trouble. Mm. We should ask and we shall receive. That's great. But there is more to prayer.
Yeah.
Scripture also says pray without ceasing. Mm. Devote yourself to prayer. So that means that prayer is not just when you have a need. There is more to it. And that is what God is calling us to. Think about this. If you are thirsty for something or you're hungry for something, it doesn't matter how busy you are. You will stop everything and you go for it.
That's right.
Okay, so if when it comes to prayer and communion with God, there is no excuse telling ourselves or telling each other, I'm too busy. Yeah. I'll make time. Because when you are hungry for something, you stop everything and you go for it. And that is the connection to prayer. Prayer is not about our need. It's about God. God answering our need. God having mercy upon us. It's about him. So if we are not praying or seeking him, that means there is something wrong with our thirst and our hunger for him. Mm. And that is the key. Because when we draw closer to God, we run after him. Now, I was thinking about this, and it just dawned on me that when prayer is just, for just our immediate need or emergency situations, prayer is underutilized. That means there is more to prayer than we see it. And that is why God is calling us to be able to run after him. Because when you have a desire for him, you can't help but just to be able to draw closer to him and run and draw closer to him. When I see people are not praying or they are inconsistent in our prayer, the key indication is that they've lost their thirst and hunger for God.
Mm.
Because take, for example, in our physical body, sometimes you don't feel like eating, but you know you have to eat.
Yeah.
You've lost it.
I don't really ever experience that. Sorry. Sorry.
So sometimes we desire. It's good to desire, but if we lose that hunger and thirst, we make all kinds of excuses. And that is what is keeping us not being consistent in our prayer. Mm. And when we call for prayer, people will say, as you're saying, we pray at home. It is great. God has designed prayer to be both corporate and personal. Mm. Spiritually, your personal affects your corporate. And your corporate will affect your personal. Mm. So if you are not coming, that means your fire is going down. Mm. There is something about your hunger that you have to take care of. And it's my prayer that the Lord will set us to create a new fire and a new hunger for him. Because that is the only way to drive us back to him and long for him, whether you have a need or you don't have a need or whatever the case may be, you just want to run after God. Mm. And that is one thing, because my passion of our prayer is not about, be an expert. I don't want to be an expert. I can never be an expert.
Right.
I'm always a student in the school of prayer.
Mm.
And when I will not graduate from that school, mm. but I move on from one level to the other. Mm. And that is by grace. So that I want to encourage you to be able to know that you have to draw closer to God. And it's my prayer that, Lord, stir in us a hunger for you.
Amen.
A thirst for you, so that we don't become inconsistent or become prayerless.
I will tell you, sometimes I forget to eat. And that's bad. It's like sometimes we forget to pray.
Yeah.
We cannot forget to pray. Okay, let me ask you another question. We were here talking yesterday, kind of in preparation, and I asked you, and you were kind enough to answer this, and I want you to just tell everyone here and those watching online, how does prayer help us become effective witnesses for Christ? I mean, how can that be involved in evangelism? Is prayer a part of evangelism?
Yeah, prayer is an evangelistic tool.
Mm.
And we all desire for this nation to be saved.
Yeah.
And prayer is one of the ingredients
mm.
that will help. But sometimes people see prayer as kind of a waste of time or maybe some additional something that you add to. It is a main thing.
Mm.
When Jesus was going up back to heaven, and he told his disciples, gave them a commission to go out to the world and preach the gospel. After that, he told them, go back to Jerusalem and wait.
Wait.
Go back to Jerusalem, wait. When you hear God's call, when God stirs your heart to do something, we are in a hurry to rush. Get into it. It is good to plan, but you have to wait. There is a waiting before you go. And there is a waiting while you are going. And there is a waiting while you've gone. Why? Because when they waited, they didn't just sit down. They waited on God in prayer.
That's right. That's right.
The Bible says they were endued with power from above. And when they moved, the Holy Spirit moved with them. So when we wait in prayer, you are going to witness to people. Their heart is so hardened. It is not how good or how eloquent you are, or how many scriptures that you quote to them.
Right.
That is not going to move them. We need to pray before we go.
That's right.
So that God softens the hearts of the people, so that when you speak a word, the Holy Spirit works on them.
That's right.
There was a scripture that I Acts 6:4.
Yeah.
We should devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. These two go together.
That's right.
It's like your two legs. You can't go with one another.
That's good. Two legs.
You just can't go. And that is what, when you look at this throughout the scriptures, look at the early church. Prayer is just part of what they do. It is their life. So for us to be able to reach out, because when you wait on God, God works on your heart. Our mind is going, I'm going to change people. I'm going to let them get saved. God needs to work on your heart. And that is why some people keep going and they get easily discouraged. Because you hit a wall. People will insult you. People will ignore you. And people give up. But when you are waiting and God is working on your heart, no matter what they do, you still have compassion on them. So that is why we need to be able to what? Pray. And secondly, when you pray, you launch an offensive attack to the works of darkness.
That's good.
No one is just, everyone in this world has an owner.
Yes, an owner.
If it's God, is your owner.
That's right.
Or not. So when you are going to be able to reach out to people and minister to them, you remember the story that Jesus, before he doing the triumphant entry, he told the disciples, go, there will be a cold tide.
Right, yeah.
And when they ask you, tell them the master.
The master needs it.
So somebody is owing somebody that you are trying to get back into the kingdom of God. And with prayer, you disrupt the works of darkness. With prayer, the enemy's grip over their life is broken. And that is why we need, it is not when we cry, when we look at the situation of this, the nation, and the spiritual situation, how sin is abounding. Darkness prevails when light is absent. It is not that darkness is stronger. It means that our light is dim or it is absent. Yes. So with prayer, the kingdom of darkness is brought down. Then we can be able to have success in our witnessing to God.
Amen.
So whatever you are doing, when you are witnessing to people in your workplace, your neighborhood, whatever it is, you need to pray for them.
Yeah.
You need to be compassionate. You need to care. Some believers, unfortunately, Pastor Barry, have given up on this nation because people are sinning and they should know the right thing to do and they are not doing it. You don't know. Because you are saved, you are not saved to criticize them. You are saved to have compassion on them.
That's right. Yes. God send revival back.
Because we need them to come back and they will not get it until God opens their eyes.
That's right.
And prayer is one of the key.
Yes. That's good.
So I want to encourage you. Prayer is important. We are saved to help other people get saved. So please don't just feel that I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, forget them, they are not serious. Even within your own family, there are people that need to be saved.
Yes.
And it's not going to be a one-day prayer. You pray one and they get saved. No. Sometimes it takes months, sometimes it takes years. Don't give up.
Don't give up.
If God did not give up on you, he's going to ask you if you give up on your family members, on your colleagues, on this nation. He's going to ask you.
Yes. Amen. In that regard, let me just say, When, again, a book of Acts, if you read the book of Acts, when they prayed, if they prayed for themselves, they prayed for boldness. Yes. They said, God, give us boldness to preach the word. So if you're going to pray for yourself, that's a good thing to pray. Pray for boldness to preach the word. That's good, Michael. That's good. That's good. Okay, so let me just ask you a couple more questions. Why is it important not to wait to pray or intensify praying in crisis only? I mean, sometimes people are really good at praying in crisis, but when there's no crisis going on, there's no prayer. Why? Tell us about.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I see people and it troubles me. Mm. I see people get into prayer more or start praying when there is crisis. and I feel bad, and I wonder what God sees, because I mean I can see things, yeah. I can see people's behavior, yeah. And it breaks my heart, and it makes me feel bad. If God sees more than I see, so how is God's reaction? Mm. Now, before I get into why it's important not to, I want to say, praying before crisis happen, it is key. Amen. Now, people wait until, you know, something happens. When you pray, it averts any danger that may be coming to you. It lessens the impact of what may happen to you. You remember when Jesus told Peter, Satan has sought to sift you.
Yes, that's right.
And I've prayed for you. But Peter experienced that impact. But if Jesus had not prayed for him, he wouldn't survive.
That's right. That's right.
Amen? So praying is critical. It can avert any danger. You might not even know. Some of the things that we'll know when we get to heaven is what our prayer did, because we can't see with our physical eyes. When you pray, things are coming. The enemy is coming against you and your family. You don't wait until there is issue before you rise up to pray. It will lessen the impact.
Yeah.
When you pray before anything happens, as Pastor Dave said, you muscle up spiritually for adversity.
Muscle up.
Because there will be hard times.
Yeah.
There will be hard times. I always tell people, when you are comfortable at any season or any time, discomfort yourself by drawing closer to God. Because there will be times of adversity, times that you need some strength to be able to move on or to survive. And that is where you pray, and that is the investment that you've made. It gives you that strength to move on. Now, when you start praying when crisis happens, you become too weak to pray. Because you are so overwhelmed. Prayer becomes so little. You can't pray because your mind is everywhere.
Yeah, that's right.
But if you have been praying before it happens, I always say that when scripture says that when you build your house on the rock, the winds come, the storms come.
That's right.
It shakes. The thing will shake you, but it will not pull you down. Doesn't mean that when you pray, nothing, you know, you will not have any attacks or things will not happen. No. Because you're praying, when it happens, you'll be able to have that grounding to be able to persist.
Yes.
And to still believe God. Yes. When you wait until crisis come, all that you do is you easily want to give up.
Yeah.
Have you met people that, you know, I don't know if you have met anyone that are very good encouraging people. When you are going through stuff, they will encourage you. They will quote scriptures and things like that. But when they are going through, they don't want to hear anything. I don't know if you've met people like that.
I have.
They will just shush you because of what you are going through. Amen? So please, don't wait. There will be times, there will be hard times, there will be challenging times. Invest in your time in his presence. It is like a bank account. You have it so that you can be able to use that when you can't pray as much as you can. Because sometimes you can't pray as much because you are so overwhelmed. And all that the grace does for you is to keep your eyes on him and not believe the lies of the enemy. That the storm will overtake you, but then you hearing the voice of God that you are going to outlast that storm.
It's good.
Amen.
Yes.
So I just want to encourage you, please don't wait.
That's good.
When everything is going good, everything blessing, enjoy it. Enjoy your life. But please, get back into his presence.
That's right.
There's more God wants to tell you, more God wants to show you, more God wants to do in your life to transform you.
Yes.
Amen.
Now, you're not saying that we shouldn't pray during crisis. You're just saying pray before crisis too.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yes.
Just wanted them to know. I'm going to have the musicians come. We're going to close in a minute. And while they're coming and we're getting ready to close, let me just ask you both just a couple questions. So here's my heart. Mm-hmm. My heart is for the beginner. Somebody may be out there watching in our online campus or sitting in our congregation this morning, and they're saying, I don't pray like that. I don't have that kind of prayer discipline. I'm a beginner in prayer. Maybe there are some husbands out there who've never even prayed for their wives, you know. Where do I start? So Michael, let's start with you. What advice would you give to a beginner, a prayer beginner, somebody who doesn't have that prayer discipline, they're just starting out? Would you have a quick word for them?
I would say, if you're a beginner, now don't set up to be, as far as an expert, you know.
Yeah.
No one is an expert, or no one knows it all.
Yeah.
We are still learning. Don't let where people are intimidate you.
That's right. It's good.
Because they never started from that place. They started from somewhere.
Yeah.
Let it inspire you. Let it encourage you. Let it let you know that it is possible.
Yeah.
Because no matter who you are, everyone can grow closer to God.
Yes.
Now, one time I was praying that the Holy Spirit whispered something to me, and I just want to use that to be able to explain. He said that if you are a student of the Bible, you'll be a student of prayer. When you read the Bible, God is talking to you.
Yes.
In a relationship, prayer is a relationship. It is just not asking and receiving and say bye-bye to God. Or when you ask and you don't receive in time, I'm sorry, I'm looking for other alternative. That is not prayer. It's a relationship. Check the Bible. So in a relationship, there is a communication going on. That is prayer. If I talk to you, I need you to talk to me back. If I communicate to you and I don't have a feedback, that's not right. Even our own relationship, the same way as prayer. If you read the word, just start reading the scriptures and praying the scriptures.
Yeah.
God is talking to you, talk to him back. And as you go back and forth, you hear his voice. You hear him. It is a relationship, so begin from that point. Study the word, read the scriptures. And when the Holy Spirit told me that, I was like, I have a lot of prayer topics to pray about.
Yeah.
I can't finish praying till I leave this earth. Because there's more to God. The Holy Spirit opens your eyes to the scriptures, how to apply it. Every scripture can be what? Prayer. We can use it as a prayer point.
Yeah.
So I want to encourage you, if you are new, you're studying, please, don't be intimidated. Be encouraged. God wants to be closer to you. God wants to lead you. God wants to direct you. God wants to help you. But he says, draw closer to me. Then I will. So pull closer. Spend time with him. Study the word. Pray according to the word. And gradually, day by day, as your relationship improves, your prayer life begins to grow.
Yes. That's good. Dave, final word?
Baby steps.
Yeah.
Baby steps. We just celebrated with your family, actually. Christmas Eve, right?
Right.
Little one decided it was time to crawl. Time to crawl. Baby steps. Couldn't do that immediately. I want to encourage you as men, especially. Anybody that knows me, especially if you're coming for a counseling session, pick on the guys. I do it every time. I pick on the guys. You go to a boot camp, I pick on the guys. I'm going to pick on you as well. Baby steps, men. Do not, just like on my desk, there's a list of 450 plus people that were submitted that are unsaved, that are attached to this family. You gave those names to us on September 25th. Maybe that list overwhelms you even thinking about it. But maybe five people you can pray over. Baby steps. Maybe eventually you'll be up to 100 of those, maybe 200. I want to encourage you, baby steps. And ladies, love you to pieces, and you may have a better prayer life than your man. And maybe in marriage, your man decides for the very first time in your marriage, can I pray over you? It's going to be an interesting moment.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's giggles, sometimes what? All the things. Ladies, I want to encourage you. I know you're already there, but I just want to water this, especially with regard to prayer and your man. Water the tar out of that. You say, absolutely pray over me from head to toe. And if they don't have the perfect words, if it's not King James or NIV or any of those versions, and maybe their phrases get bumbled and they get in a knot and they can't all the way get it out, man, you say, keep it coming.
Yeah.
Keep it coming. Baby steps, man. Let's have a prayer life that glorifies God in 23. Let's see some answers to prayer.
We all stand. Let's all stand together. We have some prayer partners coming. We always end a service. Thank you for coming to our 10 o'clock service. If you need prayer for anything, healing, salvation, you need provision, we're here to pray with you today. And I'm going to ask Michael if you would just lead us, close us in prayer. And I would like you to pray a prayer of consecration, that we would consecrate these next 21 days, that we would ask God to meet with us, to visit with us, to speak with us. Some of you, for 21 days, you need to get out a journal and journal what you hear God saying. Journal your prayers to God. Let's make this 21 days of consecrated prayer. Will you close us out? And then our worship team is going to sing.
Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us into a new year. Thank you, Lord, that your presence, oh God, are with us every time. Father, oh God, we pray that us, oh God, as a church, that we have set these 21 days, oh God, to seek your face. It is an appointment, oh God, with heaven. It is an appointment, oh God, with you, oh God. Father, we ask that you pour out your spirit of supplication and grace upon this congregation, upon this, oh God, body of Christ, that, Lord, we will honor this appointment. We will seek your face. We will wait on you in prayer. God, grant us the grace to be able to do that. For it is you that work in us both to will and to do your good pleasure. So, Holy Spirit, we ask that you pour, you fill every individual. Help us in our individual ways to be able, oh God, to give, oh God, our full attention to you, oh God, for you to move. And Lord, we ask, oh God, as we seek your face, Scripture says that, Lord, you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. So, Lord, as we draw closer to you, draw closer to us, to our families, to our individual person, to our, this congregation, draw closer to us. Speak to us, Lord. Show us what you want us to do as a church, as individuals, as a family, oh God, in this new year. Order our steps. Lead us away from every trap of the enemy and anything that will entangle us, oh God, into sin. Lead us, oh God, in the path of righteousness. I pray, oh God, covering the whole congregation, covering the whole year with the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
Every plan and plot of the enemy against our lives individually, as a family, as a church, as a nation, oh God, by the power in the blood of Jesus, we cancel it in Jesus' name. Go before us. Let the mountains be leveled. Let the crooked way be made straight. And Father, oh God, visit us mightily. At the end of the year, oh God, we can say that this is what the Lord has done, and this is how far he has brought us. Amen. To the glory of your name. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, come. Happy New Year.
Thank you for joining us in the Tiffany Fellowship Sermon Series. We truly hope that you were moved by the Word of God. It is our desire to see you built up in your faith, adding to the unity and strength of God's kingdom. You're invited to get connected at Tiffany Fellowship Church. If you're hearing the inspirational words of God for the first time, we would like to extend a helping hand in the decisions that are before you. So be encouraged to contact any of our staff members to meet and pray over the life-changing choices God has for you. As we close, our prayer is that the Lord will richly bless you, showing his kindness, compassion, and love to you. As well, if you are so moved, we would like to afford you the opportunity to give generously in support of this ministry and simply point to our available online giving opportunities. Be blessed in this day. Be continually encouraged by God's word.